Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Quincy on the Law. My name is Quincy, and we're here for another episode of Quincy on the Law. Today, I want us to talk about unconscionable contracts. What are unconscionable contracts? What is unconscionability? Unconscionable basically means not right or reasonable. Unreasonably, extremely excessive. I'm looking at it from the context or in the context of lenders. You see, unconscionability is a doctrine in contract law that describes the terms that are so extremely unjust or overwhelmingly one-sided in favor of the party who has the superior bargaining power that they are contrary to good conscience. I'm very well aware that in modern-day Kenya we take loans from all manner of institutions. They range from mobile apps, SMEs, banks, and many more. In taking these loans, we contract with the lenders. And in contracting with the lenders are usually the party with the superior bargaining power. They're the party with the economic capital. You therefore subscribe to their terms and not the other way around. Or at the very least, you two do not contract at an arm's length. They pause it and you accept. I've also dealt with some land selling companies who do not agree for you to amend the terms of the sale agreement. And mind you, that's an off plan. But let's just focus on the money lending contracts. So, I have come across, argued, won, lost, compromised, cases where lenders charge too much interest. And that's why I want us to discuss the doctrine of unconscionability. In the case of Basil Criticos versus National Bank of Kenya, it was evident that the bank varied the interest rate to 35% per month, which amounted to 420% per year, and the court refused to enforce that rate on the basis of unconscionability. In the case of Pius Kimayo Langat versus Cooperative Bank of Kenya Limited, 2017 EKLR, the Court of Appeal Bench, Justice Waki, Makandia, and Ouko, Judges of Appeal, stated that the conduct of the bank in that case mirrored the conduct of another bank in the case of Margaret Jerry Mwiruri versus BOB Kenya Limited, 2014 EKLR. It was noted that on the issue of charging interest, the bank increased the interest rate from 14 to 45%. The court examined comparative jurisprudence and came to the conclusion that even where a lending institution has a written clause permitting it, and the written clause will always be all encompassing, for instance, it would say something like, in its sole discretion from time to time to charge different rates or for different accounts and such interest to be calculated on daily balances and debited monthly by way of compound interest and together with commissions, commitment charges and other usual bank charges and other costs and expenses incurred by the bank in relation to the customer. You see, that clause is very all-encompassing, and without legal advice, a layperson will not even understand that it has given the bank the discretion to vary interest rate as and when they please. Now, the courts have held that this discretion is not absolute. It cannot be exercised willy-nilly to charge exorbitant interest rates. In the Margaret and Jerry Mwiruri case, the three wise men of the Court of Appeal held that the discretion of the respondent was not completely unfettered. They found it objectionable that the lender could vary interest to its benefit without any recourse or passing such information to the borrower, especially in that case where the interest rose to an exorbitant level. There did not appear to be any notice to the borrower as to what the interest rate would be. The right or discretion given under the contract to vary interest is not unfettered, and the contract must be construed reasonably. In court, it must be shown or at least be self-evident at the time the interest was being changed that it was brought to the attention of the borrower. You see, Courts have never shied away from interfering with unconscionable contracts. In the case of Kenya Commercial Finance Company Limited versus Ngeni and another 2002 Kenya Law Reports, it was stated that the court will not interfere where the parties have contracted on an arm's length basis. However, by its equitable jurisdiction, the court will set aside any bargain which is harsh, unconscionable, and oppressive, or where having agreed to certain terms and conditions, thereafter imposes additional terms upon the other party. Equity can intervene to relieve that party of such conditions. I seek recourse from Halsbury's Laws of England, Volume 22, 2012, the 5th edition, at paragraph 298, where it states the following about unconscionability. It states that even in the absence of duress of persons or undue influence, there has been long jurisdiction to interfere with harsh and unconscionable transactions in several different areas of the law. For instance, in respect of salvage agreements or against contractual penalties, forfeiture of mortgages, extortionate loans, or expectant heirs, the jurisdiction of the courts to set aside is based on the unconscientious conduct by the stronger party. Relief will not be granted solely on the grounds that the transaction is unfair or improvident. On unconscionability, the court in the Margaret Njeri Moruri case stated that the courts have never been shy to interfere with or refuse to enforce contracts which are unconscionable, unfair, or oppressive due to a procedural abuse during formation of the contract or due to contract terms that are unreasonably favorable to one party and would preclude meaningful choice for the other party. An unconscionable contract is one that is extremely unfair. Substantive unconscionability is that which results from actual contract terms that are unduly harsh, commercially unreasonable, and grossly unfair, given the existing circumstances. In the basic criticus case, the court could not possibly enforce the oppressive interest rates as claimed by one of the parties. It declined to lend its support to the onerous, unconscionable, and plainly usurious conduct by the lender. But it seems that justice of these types of causes of action lies at the Court of Appeal. So, are you in an unconscionable contract? Does the lender have the discretion to amount the varied interest rates without any recourse to you? Then worry not, you may have a remedy. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's wrap up today's episode on that note. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Quincy, and this is Quincy on the Law. Please subscribe for more.